This life ends like a melting candle, but we have eternal life. We have life forevermore after. Amen. So we could say that millions and millions of people around the world have the same hopeless beliefs. But when we read the story of Jesus Christ, we discover very clearly his death was not the end. Amen. Something followed. Jesus came back to life 3 days after he died and had been buried. And the resurrection of Christ is not some mystical belief or some blind faith. It is a historical fact. Go to Acts 1, verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Did you guys get your outlines? Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And this says, you remember, Luke is writing to Theophilus of the things that Jesus began both to do and teach. Amen. And he's trying to give an account of all these historical facts. And then in verse 3, it says, to whom also he, speaking of Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. There it is. They're infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So what are some infallible proofs? I said to you the other night, I stood in the tomb where Jesus was buried. Let me declare to you, it's empty. He is not there. Amen. The empty tomb is a very important historical fact. They did not find the body of Jesus. Remember, they really were sealed it up. They put the Roman soldiers there. And they didn't want, you know, anyone to come in and steal the body so that they can fabricate a lie and say, you know, they knew what Jesus said. They heard about this. So they sealed that tomb. They put soldiers on that tomb. But remember this, and we'll be preaching about this in the morning hour. But when the angel of the Lord came, he rolled away the stone, not to let Jesus out, but to let the people in to see. He's not here. He's risen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Wow. What a glorious message. And then, again, the dead body of Christ was never seen again. That's a historic, the empty tomb, but the body had never been recovered. You would think if the Romans were in control and his body, he truly stayed dead, then they would find him and say, here he is, he's dead. Forget this message. It's not true. And then we see in our text, how many times was he seen? He showed himself alive after his passion. And remember our text. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. You have just a few. An account there. Of how many people saw him. After his resurrection. Beginning in verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 15, 5. What does it say there? He was seen, yep. He was seen of who? Cephas, that's Peter. Remember, he ran. He's like, "They go tell Peter." That was the message. Go tell Peter. And then he knew Peter denied him, but the Lord had mercy on him, amen. Wanted to restore him. Go tell Peter, I'm alive. And then the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. So remember, I know we say there's the 12, but there was a lot of believers by that time going into the book of Acts. There was at least 500 brethren. Amen.
Amen.
And Paul saying, of whom the greater part remain under this presence. So they could have went to them. Hey, is it true? Tell me. Is it really true that you saw him alive? And they could say, yes, we saw him. Amen. And then 7, after that he was seen of James. And then of all the apostles. At last he was seen of me. Remember, Acts 9, Jesus appeared unto Saul, and he was converted and became the Apostle Paul. Amen. And he called him to be an apostle. And so this is what it's all about, brethren. We could go on. There's so many other appearances of Christ. But let's understand another very important historical fact. The transformation of the disciples. Remember, they were in fear. They were hiding. They knew that Jesus was taken. He was arrested. He was condemned. He was crucified. They ran away. They were hiding because of fear. And then, what happens in Acts 2? Instead of hiding, they're standing boldly right in front of everyone. And then in the book of Acts, they are being beaten and threatened. They're going to be killed. And they said, he's alive. And the message is the resurrection. Jesus is alive and you're not going to stop us. You know, they were transformed because they saw him alive. And that put boldness in them. That is a very important consideration. How about the change of the day of worship? We already went. Remember, we were preaching about the Sabbath and then Sunday. And how that the Sabbath was Old Testament. And that was the shadow. But Jesus is alive. And the first day of the week. And so the church worshiped Jesus the first day of the week. And that continued on. That's why we're here Sunday morning worshiping Jesus. Amen. How about the first church flourishing in Jerusalem? I can't go through all these because this isn't really our message, the whole message. This is just extra. I won't charge you for this. Amen. You get this for free. The next part I charge you for. No, I won't. But that first church, if it was such a lie, why did the church grow and multiply? And even priests were converted. You know, Old Testament priests, and they were converted to Christ. And the church, I mean, there was over 20,000 believers in those early days. I mean, it just kept multiplying. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel. And it just kept growing. And that's why we're here today. Amen. We're a continuation of that church that was established in Jerusalem. Amen. Go to Revelation 1:18 because I want you, this is part of our morning message too, and I want you to be able to really meditate on this and keep this in your heart today as you worship the Lord. What did Jesus say? He says in Revelation, this is the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. I am he that liveth and was dead. He was dead. They did crucify him. He truly died. And behold, I am alive, what does it say? Forevermore. Amen. And I won't give you the secret that I'm going to be preaching about in the morning hour. You have to stay around. Amen. I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. So you need to know him to escape hell. You need to know him to escape death, because he's the only one that has the keys, amen. There's been some experts. I think I cut this off your outline, but I just want to read this to you. They've actually looked at the legal evidence. You know, really scrutinized the death, the burial, the life of Christ, and the resurrection mainly, from a legal standpoint. Is this truly, is there enough evidence to make this the truth? And let me give you a couple conclusions here. Sir Edward Clarke, authority on legal evidence. He was the former justice of the High Court of England. He once made an extensive study of the resurrection of Christ and wrote, "To me, the evidence is conclusive. Over and over again in the High Court, I've secured the verdict on evidences not nearly so compelling. As a lawyer, I accept the gospel evidence unreservedly as the testimony of truthful men to facts that they were able to substantiate. You know, that's what I'm trying to tell you. This isn't, this is just preaching today and some wonderful gospel story and you just have to close your eyes and believe it by faith. No. You can believe it with your eyes open, wide, and study the evidence, study the history. It's a historical fact. There's the evidence to prove it. He died. He was buried. He's alive. And that's what makes Christianity the only way to God. Amen. He's the only Savior.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
In April 9th, 1939, Ben Hilliard, president of the Supreme Court of Colorado, presided over a session in which the infallible proofs of the resurrection of Christ were examined. He gave his opinion on the legal value of each of them and finally summed it up all as follows. Tonight, he said, we have been given overwhelming proof of Christ's resurrection, and we must conclude that Christ really rose from the dead in fact and in truth. Amen. Now look at some results. And this, of course, I have to go a little faster because of time. But number one, yes, on your outline, what are some results? Like, now that he rose, what are some results of this? What do we have because of his resurrection? Number one, obviously this isn't a complete list, but it's pretty good. The resurrection, number one, is the fulfillment of God's promise to the patriarchs. Remember? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They are the patriarchs. What does it say in Acts 13? Acts chapter 13. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, that's the patriarchs, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm. Remember? We're going to get to that, by the way, this week. Psalm 2 on Wednesday. Look how it all fits together, the timing of the Lord. Amen. It is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he also saith in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Psalm 16. And it just keeps going, all right? Now, remember, I did preach this to you in the past. You may have not remembered. But begotten. A lot of people take that term. Well, he's the begotten Son of God. That means he has a beginning. No, the begotten is when he came out of the tomb. He was begotten. It links it to the resurrection. Not to creation, that he never existed, that he finally was, created. No, he was begotten out of the tomb. This is my son. That's what it says. Read it.
Amen.
So what a wonderful promise, amen. And God fulfilled the same unto their children. And are you thankful we have the Word of God today? We have this witness, and not only that, we'll see some more things that we have been blessed with. And just think about that covenant. It goes all the way back, and we don't have time, but Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. That's the devil. That happened at the cross, by the way, and by the resurrection. But you have that promise. And then remember all the promises to Abraham. And in thy seed, Shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice in thy seed, in Jesus Christ. And that's because he came, he died, he was buried, he rose again. And now look at all the blessings of all the nations of the earth. So we have this wonderful fulfillment. And you know that the resurrection, go to Luke 24, is the guarantee of the fulfillment of God's promises to us. You know why God, you could go to the Bible, and if you realize God's speaking to you through that scripture, he gives you a promise like on answered prayer or on eternal life or anything else. Amen? Then you can truly Luke 22:44. And he, am I in the right? Maybe I'm not in the right. I'm saying Luke 24:44. I'm in the garden. Let's get out of the garden and on the other side of the tomb. Amen. Luke 24:44. Sorry about that. It says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is Christ speaking to them after the resurrection. And he says that all things, what? Must be fulfilled. All things. What a blessing. Which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Listen, you can understand the Bible if you know Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of times, and you may have been there, you're like, you talk to people, maybe you were there in your life, you're like, oh, you talk to people, oh, I read the Bible, but I don't understand anything in it. Well, there's a problem with that. Because if you know the author, he opens your mind, your understanding, that you can understand the scriptures. Amen. So if you know him, you understand. Now, you may not understand. Don't get me wrong. There's things in the Bible I'm still learning. Everyone's going to keep learning. Amen. And sometimes you're like, oh, that's hard. Let me read more, you know, go deeper. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy. But ultimately, you do understand the truth. Amen. And so this wonderful fulfillment of the resurrection gives us the guarantee he's going to fulfill all of his promises to us. If he kept his promise, and God kept his promise all those years from the beginning of creation, he will now keep the promise to us. Amen. And really, the promises of God, and I hope I can find it. It's not, I don't have the reference here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. And you may know what I'm talking about. I think I know. Well, I don't know if I'm going to find it. But there's a scripture, and maybe you can look it up, someone. It says that all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Where is that at? Does anyone? I was looking in 2 Corinthians 1, but can anyone look that up? Does anyone know how to do that? You look it up in your concordance there. Where's my wife? She disappeared. All the promises in him are yea. I don't know if that word yea is in the concordance. Huh? It's 120? I was just there. I was looking at the end of the chapter, like 130. Which one? 120? For all the promises of God are in Him. In Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Amen.
Amen.
Let's write that one down. It's in there. It's just, I didn't put the reference. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I was looking at 1:22, 23, 24, just there, just like a second ago. Anyway, number two. The resurrection establishes beyond all doubt what? The deity of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The deity of Christ. He is God. He is God. Romans 1:4. Romans 1:4. What's it say? And He's declared what? To be the Son of God. With power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, what does it say? By the resurrection from the dead. You can know that Jesus is God because He rose from the dead. Amen. And so God, remember, without the power of God, He's the Son of God. Without that power of God, Jesus was dead. He was raised by the power of God. And so God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God put His affirmation on everything that Jesus did and declares unto us, He fulfilled the sacrifice. It is finished. He completed everything. And now He's risen from the dead.
Amen.
And you can trust Him. So there it is. He's the power. He's declared to be the Son of God, and to be the Son of God means He is equal with God. Can you be God's Son without bearing His image in Christ, meaning Christ? No, He's the very essence of God. That's why they killed Him, remember? They went about to kill Him because they said, He's going about saying He's the Son of God, and they understood it, and they even said it, making Himself equal with God. So to declare that you're Son of God, they understood He was making Himself equal with God. See, people today, they don't even understand the Bible. They even go about saying, well, He's the Son of God, therefore He can't be God. No, He's the Son of God. It means He's equal with God. That's what the Bible says. That's a false gospel. People are so blind in that false gospel. And so He's raised from the dead by the power of God. Now remember what Jesus did. He prophesied this Himself. And He did it kind of in a parable way. Remember He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they're like, who's going to take down the temple in Jerusalem, you know? No, He meant His body. But He clearly declared it to the disciples. You know that. And He told them, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to have to suffer and die and be raised again. He told them. Number three. The resurrection is proof of the justification of believers. Aren't you thankful today that because of the resurrection, we are justified, meaning we are declared righteous in God's eyes because of Jesus rose from the dead. Romans 4:23. What a blessing. Amen. Romans 4:23. You start thinking about everything, this list, it would be good enough to stop right here. But as the old preacher said, it gets gooder and gooder. Amen. It gets gooder and gooder. Put that in your book, Brother West, of sayings. All right. We have a list, Brother West and I. We keep adding to it. He taught me it. Now I'm adding one there, brother. famous sayings. When you go out to get a tool, you want that one that's more heavier dutier than the other one. Heavier dutier. More heavier dutier, sister. That's the first on the list. Amen. It's more heavier dutier. That's why Mrs. West says Sandor. That's why he's like, oh, to Brother Rick, you're not going to learn Spanish. You can't even speak English. How are you going to learn Spanish? That is a true statement. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Now remember, this is speaking of Abraham when he believed God, right? David, Abraham, they believed God and it was imputed unto them to righteousness. And it's saying here, and he's talking about this imputed righteousness. Verse 22, let me get that. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. When he believed, remember now, this is great. There wasn't even circumcision. There wasn't even the law. Amen. And Abraham believed God, and he was counted righteous. So righteousness in the Old Testament was by faith. Amen. And now it says, now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed, that it was imputed in, but for to us also, amen? To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him, what? That raised up Jesus, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for what? Our justification. If you believe that with all your heart and you call on him, then it will be imputed unto you the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing. Do you understand that they went about what I'm telling you? You know why this is so powerful? What I'm preaching to you right now? Is because this is the message that the apostles preach all through the book of Acts. If I preach this every Sunday, we would be blessed. Because that's what they went around preaching. Everywhere. He was buried. But now he's alive. And here's all the blessings. That's what they would tell people. Amen. They would tell them all these scriptures. And then people would say, I believe. I want him. He's my Savior. Let me follow him. Amen. Let me repent of my sin and call on him. Number 4. Through the resurrection, believers are begotten to a lively hope. Through the resurrection, believers are what? Begotten to a lively hope. Amen. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. That's when your spiritual life begins. Your spiritual life begins when you receive Jesus Christ. You are born again. Amen. Born again. Begotten. And what does it say? 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Which according to his abundant mercy. Amen. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Listen, what's the hope? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, we have hope because he lives, we shall live also. And so you can go to bed and say, well, if I die tonight, I'll be with the Lord. Amen. We have hope. And we look around here. Well, World War III breaks out. Jesus is coming back. I'll be with the Lord. I have hope. Amen. Yeah, don't get all doom and gloom on me. It is doomy and gloomy out here. There you go, another one, brother. Doomy and gloomy. It's more doomier and gloomier every day. But the point I'm making is, yes, but let's get above it, amen? We've been born again to a lively hope. And look at the next verse. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved, look at me, in heaven, look at me, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. You got this inheritance in heaven. Don't tell me you're poor. Don't live in spiritual poverty. You're rich. You're already raised in Christ, and you have an inheritance eternal in heaven. Then we need to understand we walk around, and then that takes us above all this garbage. Because we read the Bible, and we're like, yeah, you know what? Let me forget about this. Let me meditate on Jesus today and all of His goodness and everything I have waiting for me. We have hope. And then He becomes our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. And this is, again, brethren, I know this is what makes Christians different from people in this world. Because the truth is, we all go through the same things. Right? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. You may hear those, you know, awful words. You have cancer and all this stuff. You may lose everything, you know, financially. I mean, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to be the richest person on earth and never get sick again and have, you know, the reason I know that is because I read the Bible. Here's the reality. What did the apostles suffer? They walked with Jesus, folks. What did Paul? Yeah, he could heal. But what about Timothy? He was sick. Why didn't Paul heal him if healing's for everyone? Epaphroditus was with Paul. He almost died. Why didn't Paul raise him up? Because it's not for everyone to get this miraculous healing and to get all this prosperity. Just read the Bible. Look at Jesus, your Savior. Look at the prophets. Look at the apostles. Look at the true disciples. This is a false gospel they're preaching today. This is reality. And if you don't find this, you are not a follower of Jesus Christ and you will die and go to hell. This is the reality. Not this false stuff out here in this world. You need to know Christ. And if He calls you to suffer, He called Paul to suffer. He called Paul to die for the name of Jesus. That was the will of God. And you know, the other thing is this. Building a great church and a big church. Let me tell you this. Was Isaiah a true prophet of God? Was he obedient? Amen. He was even given a vision of Jesus Christ being God in heaven. Isaiah 6. And he was called to preach. And you know what God told him? You're going to preach, they're not going to believe you. But his reward was his obedience to preaching. Not because everyone believed and they had $1,000 church and $10 million in the bank and a Learjet. Now, yeah, I mean, come on. That would be nice, but it's not reality. It's not reality. It's not the Bible. And if you're wanting those things, you're in the wrong business, amen. It's not about fleecing the sheep and getting rich, amen. I know I'm preaching out there. You people are in here. That's good. But sometimes we all need to hear it. And get our eyes off of that and onto this. Amen? Amen? Brethren, again, 1 Timothy 1:1. I don't know where I got sidetracked, but I did. Now let's get back to this. Look at what it says. 1 Timothy 1:1. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. Now there it is. God our Savior. Who is the Savior? Jesus. He's God. and Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus is your hope. And here's was the message. We are different from everyone in the world because you go through everything everyone else goes through. That was the message, amen. That's where I got off track here. We go through the same things. We're going to suffer the same things. We're going to face trials. We're going to have difficulties. But one thing we have is hope.
Amen.
It's not going to last forever. Right? Sorrow is for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping is for just a short time, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Yes, we're going to weep. We're going to have tears. We're going to suffer. But there's joy. And there's hope. It's going to be over one day. The suffering's over. The sickness is over. And we're going to be healed forever and ever and ever in a glorious body. Because we're going to have a body likened unto the body of Jesus Christ. And because He rose from the dead, we're going to be like Him. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what it is. Number five. Wow, this will preach now, won't it? Number five, the resurrection gives us assurance about what? Our future resurrection. It gives us assurance about our own future resurrection. Brethren, you will be raised again because He rose again.
Amen.
That's the promise. Let's go to our famous First Thessalonians 4:14, and that is a wonderful passage because I want to take you there now because I will refer to it in our morning message, and if we read it now, I won't have to cover so much ground there. But remember this, 1 Thessalonians 4 is about the rapture, amen, about that first resurrection. And what does it say there? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Amen. So there it is. It's a promise. And He says in verse 13, and this is a very important thing to remember on the death of a saint. Amen. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And you know what? When you're saved, you're just asleep in Jesus. Amen. It's a wonderful picture. You just went to sleep. You know that? They went to sleep. I think maybe that's the only proper term for a believer who closes their eyes for the last time. They just want to sleep. They didn't die because they're with Jesus right now. They just want to sleep. Their body wanted to sleep. Amen. But we are not as those of the world that just sorrow, weep. You know, I'll never see them again. It's over. No, we're not like them. Because if we believe in Jesus, who died and rose again, then we know they which are asleep, we're going to see them again. Amen. Because they're going to be raised with Jesus. And I won't get into the rest of the text, but number six, I have 1 minute for the rest. So I'm just going to give you the titles. The resurrection makes the unchanging priesthood of Christ available to the believer. What is that about? You know what it's about. It makes the unchanging priesthood of Christ available to the believer, meaning this, He's now at the right hand of God and He intercedes for us and we can pray to Him. Amen. Number seven, the resurrection gives a manifestation of the power of God that is made available to the believer. Wow. You think of Ephesians 1 and Romans 7. It links the very power that raised up Christ is the power that's given to us to overcome sin. Brethren, this is real. We should not say, well, I never can get over this. Yes, you can, because Jesus rose from the dead. You have hope and you can get victory. And the devil's the one lying to you, saying, you'll never do this. You'll never quit. You'll never get right. No, that's the devil's lies. Because in Jesus, we have the power of God.
Amen.
Number eight, and finally, the resurrection secures the future judgment of all. And let's go there to Acts 17. Because I think we do need to close it out with this thought. The resurrection secures the future judgment of all. Don't think for a moment that these people are getting away with it. You know, we sit here and we wonder, man, you know, how terrible this life is. Look at all these people, the injustice, and they're getting away with it. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
And he says this in Acts 17. Remember, this is a wonderful message from Paul. And it's to the whole world. He says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day. Amen. You have an appointment. Listen to me. You have an appointment. You say, well, I don't like to go to the dentist. I don't like to go to the doctor. And you know what? I sleep in. I don't like these appointments. I'm not going to go see that lawyer. I don't want to know for that court day. I don't want to even think about these things. No, you have an appointment. Guess what? You'll be there.
Amen.
Whether you want to or not.
Amen.
You know what it is? He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. That's you and me. Not the physical ground. The world in righteousness. By that man whom he hath ordained, that's Jesus, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. And because he raised him from the dead, there's a judgment that's coming.
Amen.
And all men will be judged.
Glory.
And he commands all men to do what now? Repent. So the message today, the command is to repent. Jesus said it, repent and believe the gospel. The commandment is to repent, and Jesus' call. When you hear the call of God in salvation, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. If it's a true call of God in salvation, you will have to repent of your sin.
Amen.
Not just believe Jesus and go to heaven, or not just believe Jesus and escape hell. You will have to face your sin and know you're a sinner, and know the sins you're committing, and repent from your sin, and turn from them, and ask God to be in sorrowful in your heart, and ask God to save you from your sin. And you know Jesus is the only Savior from sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's gospel right there. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the glorious resurrection of our Savior. We thank you for the wonderful results of the resurrection. And Father, as we move into the morning service,